RadioSaintPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigCDesign.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigCDesign.com. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordone. And welcome, everyone, to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we're broadcasting today from the Big C offices located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our sponsor, Big C, for their support, as well as everyone working behind the scenes, especially Thomas, for all of their help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the very first time, you'll learn that it's my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to talk with some great guests and make some new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guest, I want to mention that if you want to view the website associated with today's program while listening, you can visit stpete.org. You can also follow us live, as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruitacad and click on the live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @ARAcademy. So today it's a pleasure to welcome Mr. Bill Logan, the Public Works Communications Manager for the City of St. Petersburg. Welcome to Job Talk, Bill.
Good to be here. Are we related?
I don't think so, but it's awfully good to talk to somebody with a similar last name.
There's a lot of Logans. Logans are all over the place now. It's a great first name, too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, Bill, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It was kind of short notice, but really want to let people know what all the great work that you're doing there. And so, but before we get to all of that, let's begin by telling everyone about yourself, starting with where you're from.
Well, I've been with the city now for about a year. Started right after Thanksgiving of last year. So, frankly, this time last year, I was looking for work.
Okay.
Landed a great job with the city. It's a little bit of crisis communications. It's a little bit of branding. It's a little bit of communications publicity. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things.
Well, let's talk about how you got to this particular job. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Baltimore. Oldest of three kids. I have two younger sisters. Found that I watched a lot of television. I enjoyed television. Everybody in Baltimore County Public Schools had to do a senior project on something that interested them or was, you know, something that they could stomach doing 3 months of research about. Mm-hmm. And so I went down to the local TV station, WBAL, and followed a reporter around and said, wow, this is great. I want to do this. Went to college, interned at the radio station.
Where'd you go to school?
Towson University.
Is that in Baltimore as well?
That's right, yeah. It's a liberal arts school just inside the Beltway, about 30,000 undergrad. It's a pretty big school, second largest school in the state of Maryland besides University of Maryland College Park.
Oh, that's great. So after you graduated from school, what did you do then? What was your first job?
Took a position as a news reporter in Harrisonburg, Virginia, which at the time was television market number 198. There were 212 television markets in the country. By comparison, the Tampa Bay market is number 11. So this was a very small television station, and we did everything. We shot our own stuff. We edited our own news packages. We wrote our own copy. We did everything. It was the play school years, and that was probably the most fun I had in TV. But I always said, you know, when I get to a big market somewhere, I'm not going to have to shoot my own stuff, and I'm going to have more help, and it's going to be great. 30-year path broadcasting in and out got me to Tampa.
I want to talk about, so you, right after that job, you know, what did you do after that?
Moved to North Carolina. I actually took another job in Lynchburg, Virginia, then to Greensboro, North Carolina.
Also in media and TV?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, always at a TV station. And got married in 1987. a week after we got back from the honeymoon, I got a call from the executive producer at Channel 13 here in Tampa. And they were putting a 5 o'clock newscast on. And they wanted somebody who could do sports. But not traditional sports. Like, we want somebody who can go out and, you know, go scuba diving and parasailing and, you know, go to the beach and tell us what, you know, what the hot new... And so that was my job. That was fantastic.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. And so at the age of 26, I was recruited to come here and, you know, basically play on TV and get paid for it. It was great. But then the station got sold. New direction came, you know, new ownership. My job of being a, you know, goofball didn't exist anymore. So I was out of work, and I went and took a position at Domino's.
Really?
to work on my delivery.
Okay.
Da-da-da. And then my daughter was born. We ended up going back up to Virginia, worked for a while at a station in Virginia Beach. Then I got a job at Disney. I was in media relations, communications. Actually, at the time, the position was called publicist. And it was basically, you know, sort of that old school getting publicity for whatever new thing is coming down. When I first got to Disney, they didn't believe in doing billboards. If you remember back in the 80s and early 90s, Universal was putting billboards everywhere, up and down I-4. And Disney was like, nope, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put, you know, billboards out on the side of roads. They were still very much old school marketing, doing things organically through media, through inviting journalists to come down to Disney and talk about the great events and great resorts and wonderful attractions. And that was the way that they did marketing. All of that, of course, has evolved. Social media has changed. Billboards have changed. The media and the messaging have completely exploded, but still, you know, using a lot of those same tenets. So I got like an MBA in marketing at Disney. Unfortunately, while I was working at Disney, we had some renters in our house in Brandon, and they didn't work out so well, so we moved back to Brandon. I ended up working part-time on the weekends at Channel 44 when they did news here.
Okay.
As a weather person. They needed somebody who could do weather. And I had always filled in doing weather. I could ad lib for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes at a time. That was no big deal. So that's what we did. Then I got a job offer to work there full time. Disney matched the offer, and I stopped doing TV, and I found that I really missed it.
Yeah.
2 weeks after that, I got a job offer for some vacation relief at Channel 10. And I said, yeah, okay, I can do that. And then about 2 weeks after that, they asked if I wanted to do that full time. So I went in to do weather full time and said goodbye to Disney. There's a lot of times I said, boy, if I had stayed at Disney, I would have had it set. But went back into television, worked at Channel 10 for a while, went to North Carolina to do sports again, came back down here to work at HSN.
What'd you do for them?
I was an overnight show host selling jewelry and electronics.
Okay.
And, you know, that was the toughest job I ever had.
I bet.
You sit in a studio with three robotic cameras, a producer over across the way who's telling you things in your ear, and you have a tray of jewelry or a couple of electronic items, and you have to sell that for 20 minutes, 30 minutes at a time.
Wow.
Yeah, so it can get a little bit challenging. I mean, I can talk a lot, but that was challenging. My contract wasn't renewed there, and then I had just started picking up some freelance part-time stuff at ABC Action News when three hurricanes hit within the span of 6 weeks, like one after the other after the other.
What year was that?
2004.
Okay.
And I knew how to do TV. I knew how to be a reporter. I knew how to talk for a long period of time about something. And so when all the hurricanes hit, we managed to cover all of them, and then I got offered a full-time job. That turned into a full-time weather position, and 30 years after I got my undergrad degree in communications, I went back and got my degree in meteorology.
Wow.
And completely separate side of my brain. It was great, though, because I have found that if your mind is engaged in your learning, it's a reason to get up. If you're just in the same drudgery day in and day out, it can be really hard to get out of bed, but just the learning aspect, mm-hmm. Keeps you going, which I think is, you know, a good lesson. Lifelong learning, never stop.
You also did some radio, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in between when I was working at Domino's, I worked at WFLA Radio. Back in Baltimore, where I grew up, I was on the radio quite a bit there. But radio's changed. Everything's changed. The whole media has changed. I mean, what we're doing here in the second floor of a design company, who would have heard of that 15, 20 years ago? But this is the way people communicate now. It's podcasts, and it's non-traditional media, and it's social media. And, you know, when I first started doing television, you either got the news at 6 in the evening or at 11 at night, and that was it.
Yeah,
it was appointment television. You know, now you've got a bazillion channels streaming 24/7. There's no such thing as broadcasting anymore. You've got a whole conglomeration of narrowcasters. So you can choose what you use. You can choose your news. And I don't know whether we're better for it or worse. I think a lot of the skills that the news aggregators used have become a little bit passe, but you're still telling stories.
Yeah.
And you're still giving the who, what, when, where, why, how, and making sure that people can understand what's going on, and you're that conduit. So communications, while it's a little bit different vehicle, it's still the same message.
My guest today is Bill Logan, the Public Works Communication Manager for the City of St. Petersburg. So, Bill, let's talk about Public Works. And you're the first Public Works Communications Manager for the City of St. Petersburg. So can you tell us why the position was formed and how you came about to be hired for that role?
2015, 2016, the City of St. Petersburg had some unfortunate discharges and spills with regard to its sanitary sewer system.
Was that from Hurricane Hermine?
That was Hermine, and then also it was Colin. And then a no-name storm the year before that just brought tons and tons of rain. The decision was made that there needed to be someone who could speak specifically to the citizens of St. Petersburg and let them know what's being done in a way that wasn't going to be political, in a way that wasn't going to be sugar-coated, and in a way that was going to be understandable. So they essentially put out an RFP or a job description that was like, we want somebody who can take a complex matter, break it down, make it understandable, and not someone who is just going to be spinning stories and trying to make what's bad look good. We want complete transparency. So it was, let's look for someone who's got a media background. I'd been in contact with Yolanda Fernandez, who was a reporter at News Channel 8 for years and years and years. And I just happened to call her up, literally, it was on a Friday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, and I said, Yolanda, anything going on with the city? Are they looking for any kind of spokesperson, PIO? And she goes, Public Works is looking for somebody right now, and I know they've been interviewing. Get your resume over to Claude Tankersley. Sent him the... sent him my resume. It was like about 4:30. By 4:45, I had a call back. We want to interview you next week. And then everything went very fast.
That's a very quick response. That's a very quick response.
But it was such a specific skill set. They wanted somebody who had, kind of a scientific background, but more of a communications background and the ability to break things down. I will tell you, in no uncertain terms, I had no idea what I was walking into. Mm-hmm. I have lived in this area for 27 out of the past 30 years, but it was over in Eastern Hillsborough County on the other side of Tampa, over toward Brandon. So the engagement and people being so into this situation here in St. Pete, I wasn't ready for. And when I came in, my first day on the job was, I was introduced to city council and I took a selfie, cause that's what, when you're on TV and you're a news anchor and you're taking selfies, here we are, So I was like, oh, look, old habits die hard. And I was taken to task by the local paper. We don't need some, highly priced sewer spinner, some former weatherman who can smile and tell us sunny, you know, sunny skies when we know it's raining. That was never the job. The job was clearly delineated to make sure that it wasn't going to be coming from the mayor's office, and it wasn't going to be coming from the city's communications and marketing department. It was going to be coming from someone within Public Works who had a knowledge of what Public Works is doing and trying to do, so that we can let folks know, okay, we had a problem, we're addressing the problem, and here's how the problem is going to get better. And it has been an uphill climb. There have been a lot of folks who don't want to hear me. Yeah. I mean, I've had, hi, I want to let you know that I'm here to help. I don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, but slowly but surely, I think people are getting the fact that we're working hard.
And so it sounds like one of your challenges. Are there some other challenges you've had since taking over that role?
Challenges are opportunities, are, you know, weaknesses are potential strength. So, again, when I first got here, I had come out of 30 years of broadcast television. I knew how to put a news story together. I knew how to deal with media. And those were my strong suits. And that's what they needed somebody to be able to do. So that was the easy stuff. The hard part for me was, you know, calculating the political weight of every word that I would utter. When you're a spokesperson for the city, people will wait for you to make a mistake and then aha. They're not going to like kind of walk beside you and say, hey, look out for that pothole over there. They're going to stand back and wait for you to step in the pothole and then go, see, look at that. So I understand that there are politically people who are opposed to what we're doing because I work under a certain administration. But I can tell you that my job is apolitical. My boss, Claude Tankersley, is one of the more earnest individuals I've ever met, and he is very focused on taking what was a problem and trying to fix it as quickly as possible. $300-some million over the past 12 months encumbered, either being spent on projects now or projects that are in the works to improve the capacity of our sewage plants and also the collection system to get everything to the plants, which we've had problems with. And just after Irma, we had a couple of isolated incidents here in St. Petersburg. We were very quick to be as precise and exact and factual about the reporting as to what happened to the Department of Environmental Protection, which we are required to anytime there's a notice of pollution. I am on a subscription list so that anytime someone else in this area posts a notice of pollution, I get that notice. So many communities in our area right now are simply saying, we're still assessing the damage, we're still assessing how much is gone, how much spilled, but we know we have to do this. So, I mean, what happened during Irma? St. Petersburg came through very well. Other communities have had a lot of problems with their plants, with their lift stations, with power redundancy. And I think that's been real testament to the fact that the extra scrutiny put on the city for what they're doing with all of these projects, the extra scrutiny put on the communications of those projects, I think has been good because it's held us accountable. It's kept us honest.
You know, you mentioned some of the problems you had. Can you talk in detail about some of the improvement plans you've had, you know, for the sewer infrastructure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's over 950 miles of gravity-fed sewer lines in the city of St. Petersburg. That's a lot. Most of it was built between 1920 and 1950. So we're looking at least 70, 80, maybe even older pipes and infrastructure. So there have been a lot of different projects, procedures, programs to put in place to line these old sewers or replace these old sewers. And there's a lot of trenchless technology now. We can actually put basically a pipe within a pipe from a remote location, and it just makes everything work really well with those pipes. That's on the collection side. New filters, new injection wells, new ways to dispose of reclaimed water. You know, a lot of people don't realize that St. Petersburg was the first municipality in the world to turn on reclaimed water for its residents. Hmm. You know, normally reclaimed water that came out of the sewage or the wastewater treatment plants was used for golf courses or industrial sites, that sort of thing. Back in the 80s, St. Petersburg said, no, we can put that out to our citizens, and they can use this water, and that'll help us get rid of this water. But over the past couple of years, when we had those spills and overflows, it was decided that if we have extra disposal capacity, then we can do better. So we've built or drilled 3 new injection wells, which can get rid of up to 15, 16 million gallons of that reclaimed quality water every day.
Are they going to be drilling some more of those as well?
There's a plan to get another 3 drilled by next year. And the interesting thing is that the topography here in St. Petersburg, under Pinellas County, whatever goes straight down into these confined aquifers is never going to be tapped for drinking. The drinking water doesn't come from any of the aquifers that's under the city. It's in well fields further north into Pasco and Hillsborough County, and also out of the Alify and Hillsborough Rivers.
Okay. Well, thanks for some of those improvement discussions. I appreciate that. My guest today is Bill Logan, the Public Works Communications Manager for the City of St. Petersburg. And Bill, you know, a lot of people don't even know what public works entails. So I'd like to talk about some of the departments that you're working with.
We are the offensive linemen of the city. You never hear about the offensive linemen unless there's a sack, yeah, or a holding call. But when they're doing their jobs and everything's great, you know, but you
right.
never hear them.
Right.
And that's kind of what public works. We support the city.
Exactly. And you have several departments, including engineering, water resources, stormwater, pavement, traffic operations, and fleet management. So can you tell me what the engineering, let's start with that. Mm-hmm. What does that department actually do?
Anything that gets built in the city of St. Petersburg goes through engineering, whether it's a private project that needs to go through codes and compliance and, you know, make sure that it's going to be built to specifications that are not going to be impacting citizens in a bad way. That goes through engineering. Sidewalks, infrastructure, bridges. We just had over the past month and a half or so an issue with the 40th Avenue Bridge heading over to Shore right. Acres. That bridge was built in 1960. You know, stuff built in the 60s, you know, I shouldn't say this, I was built in the 60s, but, you know, it wasn't best practices and things.
Different codes, right?
Yeah. So the interior part of this bridge is really, you know, not as stable as what was added on the outside when they expanded it and widened it back in 91. So the traffic is now going over these expanded parts while the engineers can get in and really discover whether or not this bridge can be fixed and shored up, whether it's past the point of you know, even being reparable, that they're going to have to build a new bridge. And there are folks out there in that neighborhood who have been signing petitions to raise the bridge, you know, make it higher. But of course, if you raise the bridge, you also have to lengthen the approach, which means that there are going to be people whose homes may be impacted or have to be moved. Right. So When you're working with a project like that, engineering doesn't just say, okay, this bolt will fit on this nut and that's good. You know, it's there's a lot of moving parts. They're like a Rubik's cube. We're a city of 260,000 people, but we're not grown anymore. I mean, it's pretty much maxed out building wise. Everything's been developed in the city of St. Pete. So either we're moving up, we're redoing what's on a property. You know, so there's a lot of changes, and all of those changes interreact with everything else in the city. So engineering is a very important job. Fleet management, another area of public works. Mm-hmm. Any piece of rolling stock that has St. Petersburg on it, fire trucks, paramedics units, rolling bleachers, you know, to go to a parade or a sporting event, you know, buses. And, of course, all the police cars and all the radios in the police cars. That's what Fleet does. So there's, I mean, it's a 24/7 operation with people fixing what's rolling to keep it rolling so that it can still do what it needs to do.
Then you have pavement and traffic operations.
Yeah, this is it's kind of that's the weird kind of catch-all. It's stormwater, pavement, and traffic operations. So all of the streetlights that were out, our traffic ops people had to get generators out there, or portable signage, or you know modification of transportation for that. You know the street lining. Cleaning out the storm gutters. You know, again, we talked a little bit about this off the air before we started, but a lot of people don't even realize that every city has two separate sewer systems. We have the sewer system, the sanitary sewer system, which takes everything to the treatment plant, and then there's the stormwater system that takes all of the heavy rain from the roads and the sidewalks and everything and then pushes that out quickly to the nearby lakes and rivers and bay because that's where the water needs to go. So that's separate from our Water Resources Department, which is when you get your water bill, that's what you're paying for, water resources. So it's your drinking water, which, again, you know, the city of St. Petersburg is strange in as much as we have a huge water treatment plant up in Odessa. And then the water is treated there as we get it from Tampa Bay Water, which is the consortium of water utilities around the region. We take that water and then pump it 26 miles down to Washington Park and Oberle pump stations so that it can get pumped out to all areas of the city.
It's really fascinating, the infrastructure there.
And this is, this dates back to the 20s when this area was still being settled and founded and developed. A lot of folks had very long-term thoughts to get through. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of forward thinking since then. So right now, we're playing a lot of catch-up with the maintenance and having to do things. But the exciting thing about where St. Petersburg is now, I think even over and above what other local utilities are doing, they're not just saying, okay, well, we're going to deal with the wastewater here. We're going to deal with the stormwater here. We're going to deal with one water. And we are working very hard right now to develop not just a management plan, but a communications plan and really a social marketing campaign, not social media where we're going to tweet stuff out, but social marketing so that people in this community understand it's not stormwater, it's not potable water, it's not reclaimed water. It's all one water. It's the only water we've got. Water doesn't get made. Water is not created out of thin air. We've got the water we're going to get on this planet right now. So we, as a city, we as citizens, should be good stewards of that water in whatever form it is. So to be the best at taking care of the wastewater so that we can have more reclaimed water to use, to take care of the potable water, to maybe capture some of the stormwater. Don't just pump it out into the bay, but capture that fresh rainwater, you know, maybe in some sort of a cistern, and use that, which won't take as much, chlorination and fixing as other water that comes out of the ground.
That's great, Bill. My guest is Bill Logan, the Public Works Communication Manager for the City of St. Petersburg. And Bill, you know, I know the cleanup and restoration of power to the community after Hurricane Irma is not really under your purview, but can you comment on where things are at this time? You know, what are the challenges and what's being done to get things back to normal?
Hard to believe that it's only been a week and a half since we all sat there on Sunday night and stared at that line that kept going west and thought, yep, you know, we're going to get creamed.
Yeah.
We dodged a bullet. I've been able to track some of the repair and recovery efforts around the state. We're in good shape. We were without power for a week. If you remember back to Wilma in 2005, during Charlie and Francis and Jean in 2004, there were areas that didn't have power for 3 weeks. You know, so I realize it was a pain, and it was probably very frustrating for people who may have had power originally, and then when the grid started coming back up, theirs went out again. But I give Duke Energy and its partners and the people who are on the ground and up in the bucket trucks all the respect in the world. Where they may be a bit anxious or overeager or optimistic when they made their estimation that we'll have it back on by midnight Friday. Maybe. I've learned in just the short period of time that I'm in my job with the city of St. Petersburg, you can't make guarantees. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be an outlier. There's going to be an exception. And people are constantly, city council members are asking my boss Claude during the sewer report, how confident are you of the system? You know, put a percentage on it. That's tough. I mean, all you can say is I'm 100% confident that we've done everything we can, but there's always something that can happen. So if you make, you know, blanket sort of promises that this will never happen again, it could.
Right.
So that's, you know, you want to super serve your constituents, you want to super serve your customers, but under promise and over deliver.
Yeah.
Rather than the other way around. I think that's where they kind of got caught up a little bit, because people were just very frustrated, and they hung on to those words as gospel, as hope.
Well, you know, you can't blame them, you know, mm-hmm. and so I understand that. So thank you very much for that clarification. So now, Bill, let's talk about some jobs. I understand there's a few jobs available within the Public Works Department. Can you tell me a little bit about the jobs that are available? And there's about five here I think I want to talk about, beginning with the plant maintenance technician. What's that all about?
If you've ever wondered what happens after you flush the toilet, getting a job as a maintenance technician at one of our plants will tell you everything you need to know. When I got here in November, I didn't know. It's a fascinating process. It's essentially taking nature and speeding it up, you know, a lot. And that we are able to do this in a confined and calculated way is really amazing. So you've got a science background with chemistry and biology, and then you've got your mechanical background because you're replacing valves and you're doing maintenance on machinery. So that's the sort of thing that if you've got that innate ability to look at things and solve problems and figure stuff out, that's a great job. And when you're doing the maintenance on a day in, day out basis, you're learning the process from its roots.
Mm-hmm. And the engineering department is looking for a senior professional engineer. You know, what kind of engineer are they looking for? Is it civil or?
It would be a civil engineering position. Again, when we talked about the engineering department, they touch everything. Mm-hmm. So it could be, you know, working with contractors and helping them with their plans so that they will best meet the rest of the neighborhood's expectations and fit. Or, you know, they're working on public service projects, infrastructure, what we need to do for bridges and maintenance of seawalls and, you know, all sorts of stuff. A city like St. Petersburg is a unique and maddening sort of engineering situation. I mean, we're basically building at sea level.
Yeah.
But you've got to maintain all of this infrastructure in what is not necessarily a favorable environment. So working with all of these parameters can, I mean, the challenge and overcoming the challenge is that's a big draw for folks.
Right. And so the Water Resources Department is looking for a water reclamation plant operator. What would that person do?
That's, again, after the flush, what happens? How much chlorine needs to go in here? Do we need to speed the process time up there? Do we need more aeration in this section? You know, working with all of these different parameters, that operator makes sure that what goes into the plant from the collection system, the stuff we flush, gets treated properly, and he protects the environment. So it's an outdoor job. It has a lot of practical applications, but there's a lot of pride in that, because when that person knows that they have treated this community's, what this community throws away, and then brought back something and kept that community safe and healthy, that's a good feeling. I mean, people don't get into this business to spill wastewater or to, you know, foul the environment. They get into this business so they can help maintain the environment and be good stewards of our natural resources.
That's great. And also, I see that you're looking for a water resources director. You have somebody in that position as on an interim basis.
Yep. John Palanchar started about a month and a half before I got to the city, and by the time I got there, he was the interim director of water resources. And this is the part of public works that has been, I guess, for lack of a better term, more beleaguered over the past year or so, because there has been just an inordinate amount of scrutiny as to what are you doing to prevent spills? What has happened to make sure that this isn't going to occur again? So this person, John Palanchar, who has been in the interim role, has had an awful lot of explaining to do as he's learning all of this. But, I mean, the position hasn't been filled, but he's filling it. I mean, he's been doing the job.
Good. And, you know, interesting, I just learned this today, that you have a public works training program affiliated with the Pinellas Technical College. Tell us about that program.
Public Works Academy. It's again, when you're talking about all these different public works jobs, they're not necessarily top-of-mind positions that people think, you know, when I grow up, I want to, you know, be a water treatment plant operator. It probably doesn't, you know, rank up there on, you know, rock star, football player. You know, you're just not thinking that. So we get into the schools and let people know that there are jobs available. And the training, you don't have to go through 4 years of college for. You know, and you'll learn procedures and practical knowledge. And then you go off to the work site and you put it to, it's like the old apprenticeship program. You put it to work actually doing it rather than learning it in a book because, I mean, for goodness sakes, I remember my communications courses in college. None of that stuff's working anymore. You know, you do what you do because you're doing it.
Right. And they're very important roles, too. It's a great affiliation. I'm awfully glad to learn about that program. And so tell me a little bit about the benefits of being part of the city team. What do you think they are?
Well, I mean, any kind of civil service job, the benefits are going to be good. And I can safely say that the benefits with the city of St. Petersburg are wonderful. They have a wellness center. You just call them up and you go see the doctor. You don't have to make an appointment with your doctor and then take time off. I mean, you just go and you see the doc, and he takes care of a lot of the people with the city. So it's a great, I mean, it's almost like a school nurse, but it's just like, you know, you got everything there. I went in the other day, I had a little bit of a cough, and they said, well, you know, we got the flu shot. So I got my flu shot and, you know, got my medicine, got my refills. It was fantastic. So, I mean, yeah, they take care of employees. For my job, I've been able to work with some really smart people. And while I have, you know, been close to power and close to the decision makers and so forth by being a reporter, to watch how this stuff is done now, spending a week in the EOC last week during Hurricane Irma was eye-opening. You know, the stuff that you think is common sense always needs to be talked out. So, you know, the communications internally and externally are very important. The bad part for me is that, you know, I serve at the pleasure of the mayor. While I work under Public Works Administration, if we get a new mayor and the mayor doesn't like me, I could be gone.
Anybody in Public Works, though,
yeah, well,
really?
No, well, the rank and file, the people who are in, you know, hourly or salaried jobs are okay. Once you get to a manager level and above, you can be moved out. So it's just different strata there. But for those who get in, you know, there are lifers. I mean, there are folks who have, you know, 30, 35 years of employment with the city, and, you know, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, I always like to get my guests' opinion about the talent pool throughout Tampa Bay and St. Pete and specifically. You know, when you've had to hire people, are you able to find the talent you're looking for?
By and large, yes. And what we're finding here is that there is a unique skill set from people who have lived here a long time. You know, you just innately, you get what you get because you've been here. So going out and bringing people in, while it does help to, you know, enrich the tapestry, a lot of people have ended up here and then just stayed. This is one of those. This right. is one of those areas where people think, "Oh, I'll just be moving here for a while," and then they stay.
It's paradise. Why would somebody want to go? Right.
Well, it's paradise with a price. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did have to hunker down and hold our breath and all of that, you know. But I'll take that over an earthquake any day.
Yeah, exactly.
Earthquake, you get no warning.
Exactly. I've been through that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. So California versus Florida, give me the hurricanes. I'll take that.
And so that brings us to the interview tip of the week. So, Bill, if somebody wants to apply for a position at the city, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Well, do it, number one. But number two, when you come to your interview, don't just look at your resume and what you've done on jobs as your background. If you've got a passion, if you've got a hobby, if you've got a civic group or a church organization that you've worked with, and you know, maybe it didn't say so in your title, but you took on the role of, you know, a CEO and a project manager. Talk about that stuff. Talk about the things that you're passionate about, that you've helped with, as far as projects. And it may be far afield from what your actual job is, but showing those sorts of leadership abilities or that sort of you know, I'm not a one-dimensional person to the potential employer, I think makes a big difference. I mean, when you're doing an interview, you're not supposed to ask questions that are too personal. You know, you can't ask marital status, you can't ask about kids, you know, daycare. You're not supposed to. But I think that the more you can share about opportunities or challenges that you've overcome, things that you do over and above what your job is, I think that makes a huge impression. That sets you apart from the other people who will say, yeah, of course I'll show up and work on time and do my job. All right. They want to see somebody who's, you know, plugged into the community. Plug into the community. That's the thing.
Right. And what would you say to those interested in moving their family or businesses to the area? Would you recommend St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay in general? And if so, why?
I'll answer that this way. When I first got here in 1987, I hated it. I moved from Greensboro, North Carolina, came down here in August, and maybe that was why. It was the hottest time of the year. And I did not like it. I was just like, nope, I just don't get why everybody thinks this is so great. By February, when I was walking the dog in shorts and flip-flops, I got it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the weather. Give yourself some time. It's a different pace here. People expect things at a this isn't Miami. You know, we're slower here. We're not on island time, but this is not a frenetic, fast-paced, you know, breakneck speed kind of place. So people will get to it, and it'll be better when you just let them get to it.
Well, that sounds great. Now, listen, we're up to the point where it's time for shout-outs. Do you have anybody that you'd like to give a shout-out to?
Shout-out to the entire Public Works Department. I'm the spokesman for them, but they inspire me. I'm just a guy who can put words together and can learn things and can impart some of what I learned to others. But these are folks that are doing this on a day in and day out basis, and again, like the offensive linemen, they don't really get the credit, and they do work on a very high level all the time, and there's a level of pride. So I want to make sure that I give them the shout out for doing their job.
Well, that's great. So if anyone now, Bill, would like to learn more about the jobs available at the City of St. Petersburg, how can they do that?
www.stpete.org, stpete.org/jobs.
That's great. So, Bill, I really want to thank you for being here today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
My pleasure.
Hope you did too. And I look forward to next time you're a guest on Job Talk. So best of luck to you in your position. And regardless of what happens in the upcoming election, I hope that you have a job and we'll come back again.
I do too. And I hope for the sake of the people of St. Petersburg that whether I'm there or whether I'm not, there's still going to be the mechanism, the avenue to get this information out, because I think as we've been able to share some of the plans, some of the procedures, some of the problems that we've overcome with this system, I think the better off. So I think it's a good thing. St. Petersburg, we're heading in the right direction.
That's great. You've been listening to my guest today, Mr. Bill Logan, the Public Works Communications Manager for the City of St. Petersburg. If you're interested in applying for any of the jobs we discussed or want to check out what's going on in St. Pete, please visit the website at stpete.org. It's a great place to work. And now it's time for Job Talk Alumni Update. And our friends at the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce have a new job available. They're looking for an advocacy manager who will be responsible for creating, through collaboration with membership, a new model of advocacy for the economic growth and community vitality. This position will create and manage process development, issue identification, policy development, and program management. This position will report to Chris Steinach, the president and CEO of the chamber. So for more information about this new opening, please visit the website at stpete.com. That's stpete.com.
That's right. They're the .com. We're the .org.
Exactly. And now it's time for my shout-outs today. It's been a difficult time for everyone affected by Hurricane Irma and Harvey, including people right here in St. Pete, Tampa Bay, and throughout Florida. So my thoughts and prayers and go out to all of you. And if you care to help, please donate to the Salvation Army at helpsalvationarmy.org and the Red Cross at redcross.org. They need your help, so please do what you can. And my other shout outs this week go out to Pete in California, Mary in Georgia, and Carrie in Phoenix. I really enjoyed speaking with all of you. And to Suzanne in Charleston, South Carolina. It was really great to catch up with you as well. And I hope all of you will take the time to check out the Radio St. Pete website and explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and there are new shows in production all the time. You can always listen to past Job Talk shows, including this one, and you will find some interesting and fun podcasts there, too. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's RadioSt.Pete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. Plus, we're always looking for talent and contributors to the station. You can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSt.Pete.com. You can also send me a tweet or follow me on Twitter at Job Talk Host. So I want to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Kat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did, and I think you'll be glad you did too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigCDesign.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigCDesign.com. Listen next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg.
RadioSt.Pete.com.